Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you.
This week's card,
Mexico is missing an island.
This is great radio.
It totally is. Welcome to the Big Red Couch. We are Tonya,
Ben,
Craig,
Kev.
And this week we are answering the question, Mexico is missing an island. So who's got ideas?
Oh, shit, we were supposed to have No, look, please pay for everything. Do you want to start?
You look all prepared and stuff. You could probably leave the audience. Audience is the singular of audience, isn't it?
Yes,
the audience. Or the audience with some feeling their time has been totally wasted. So
true. Let's set them up with unrealistic expectations ahead of time. Like it.
I did actually do research for this.
Me too.
I printed out bits of paper and everything.
With links on them.
It's a little scary.
Links aren't that useful on paper, it has to be said. But
well, no, it's the links that are scary, because we're going to have to put them in the show notes, and that's going to involve typing.
No, it's not. Control-C, Control-V. Done.
Typically, those are typing.
The Big Red Couch. We are sporadically competent.
Anywho, this is what Wikipedia says about it. Bermeja is an islet lying off the north coast of the Yucatan Peninsula, according to several maps of the Gulf of Mexico from the 16th to the 19th centuries. Despite being located somewhat precisely in relation to neighbouring islands by notable Spanish cartographers of the 16th century, the island was not found in a 1997 survey, nor in an extensive 2009 study conducted by the National Autonomous University of Mexico on behalf of the Mexican Chamber of Deputies. Interest in the island arose in late 2008, fueled by the fact that if such an island existed, it would be important for determining the boundaries for exploitation rights of oil in the Hoya de Doña, donut holes, in the Gulf of Mexico. I just love the fact that there's a place called the Donut Hole. The island is first mentioned by Alonso de Santa Cruz in El Yucatán e Islas Adyacentes, a list of islands in the region published in Madrid in 1539. Its precise location is given in Espejo de Navegantes, Seville, 1540, by Alonso de Chávez, who wrote that from a distance the small island looks blondish or reddish, in Spanish, Bermeja. According to Michael Antochio Culpa, a French-Mexican cartographer, since 1844 British maps have reported the sinking of the island some 60 fathoms below. Explanations for its apparent disappearance include an erroneous observation by early cartographers, shifts in the geography of the ocean floor, rising sea levels, and conspiracy theories claiming that the CIA destroyed the island to expand the economic zone allotted to the United States. So that's kind of backgrounding so that you know what we're dealing with. I probably shouldn't have gone through all of that and just sent you a link. I don't know. This is my idea. The human history of this islet begins in the mid-1700s when Bermeja watched a sister islet, mentioned only in the 1539 map as Negría, sank below the waves. We know that Bermeja sank itself over the early 1800s, but was still noticeable in 1844. It has been estimated that 3.75 billion metric tons of rock vanished over that period. We know that the composer Isaac Albeniz, 1860-1909, once told a story of meeting a sailor with strawberry blonde hair who described the thousand emotions of the sea in explicit detail while playing Spanish folk guitar. It's presumed that he met the man during his 1874 trip to Buenos Aires. He credits this man as the inspiration that led him to compose for himself, basing many of his themes on the stories and music he heard during those few short days. There is a myth that some places have enough soul to yearn to see more of the world, and that these places sometimes take human form. Fiddler's Green is one such place that figures in popular fiction. Where is Bermeja now? Does he still use that name? We know that both the Mexican and American governments still believe him to be out there because they've agreed to hold negotiations on the borders of their economic zones until his fate is categorically determined. You, the players, must find him for your own reasons, or those of your employer, or your government. Or you are searching for merchandise for auction, or you just simply have to know. Will you find him? Will you find somewhere else who can tell you of his fate? Did he simply get tired of the world and move to Cuba to become a small village near Santa Clara that actually exists?
Okay.
That's the whole thing.
That's cool.
I'm assuming novelists.
I hadn't actually got as far as a system. That was...
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
I was actually assuming something Spirit of the Century, but...
Okay.
I hadn't really thought about system in any detail. Thofts?
I like the idea that the island of Bermuda is wandering around out there.
That's very
I'm actually more interested in what happened to Negria, because that also appears in the earliest maps and disappeared before Mermeca did. It also lies further on the maps where it does appear. It lies further out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Clearly, the island that made Bermeca. That's right.
Clearly.
They'll care when something under the sea starts taking giant bites out of the Mexican Peninsula, but that's a whole idea for another game! The Island Eaters! And okay.
Island Eaters of the Gulf of Mexico!
Yes.
See, that one is a Spirit of the Century.
Well, my concept is anchored in Spirit of the Century right from the start, but you can do all sorts of things with your plan. That's awesome.
I like the way that the international treaty border negotiations are being held up on the basis that the dude's out there somewhere.
That's also historically accurate. Mm. The treaties have been paused because there are people still conducting investigation into the whereabouts of this island.
That's cool. Should I go next?
Okay.
Something?
Yes.
Okay. The very basic idea that I came up with for this way back when I heard the Radiolab. It was Radiolab?
Radiolab.
Actually,
no, BBC World.
Sorry. Okay. The BBC World discussion of Bermeja and its interesting history, and we should totally put that in the show notes, was based in Spirit of the Century, of the idea of basically this motley collection of Mexican folk heroes banding together from across time to prevent time-traveling CIA agents and Bolshevik agents from making away with the island. And this is all currently framed around the Spirit of the Century, but, you know, if I had brains and organization, I'd do it around the samples of the fake core system that's currently being developed online and kickstarted. But I'm not, because I'm lazy. So the basic idea in terms of characters that you could have, I thought that since Spirit of the Century, for those who haven't run into it, it has a skill pyramid system, which means that everybody has a skill that they are best at. And so I thought you'd have different characters framed around each having a different best skill, so that you could have, for might, El Santo, the luchador, on the grounds of El Santo! He kind of justifies himself.
Kind of.
And is a pivotal part of the plot of Jesus Christ Vampire
Hunter. Exactly! You just can't ignore Jesus Christ Vampire Killer. It's too horrible, but horribly awesome. You could have, for investigation, Manny Calavera from Grim Fandango. Debonair, dead investigator. For guns, Pancho Villa. For weapons, my initial thought was going with the sword and using Zorro, which would be cheating slightly because, you know, he was...
From California.
California was owned by Mexico, so it's a slight dodge. But as I was doing research for this, I ran into something that I thought was cool enough that it completely trumped Zorro in terms of that information has come to light about a warrior princess right from the middle of Mexico from 1035 AD whose name translates as Six Monkey. Who's pictured with...
the number six, for people who are having difficulty with their accents.
Yes.
Sorry about your keyboard.
She was pictured with sword and shield or spear and shield, and I'm sure could travel through time to kill anyone who claimed she was Sex Monkey. because it was an era, apparently, where rather than having unnecessarily wasteful wars, the ruler of a tribe or nation would stand and fight the ruler of another nation, and that was how things were decided, and she was in charge for quite a long time, actually. So I thought that was too awesome not to include, and a lot of the research that I started with was based on the idea that, you know, with folk heroes from all over the world, it tends to skew towards guys, and that's boring. And so I started doing some digging, and there is a graveyard in Mexico that is the grave, I can't remember what the translation is, but it is a graveyard of national heroes, and so I started working through this, through all of the women who were involved, and that led to a whole bunch of useful links, both about the people in it and other people kind of connected to that discussion. There's a woman named France Anne Cordova, I apologize for terribly mispronouncing these names, who I thought would fit for the academic skill, who worked for NASA as a physicist and large number of other things. Very cool stuff. For art and performance, there's Dolores del Rio, who was an actress who was pretty much Mexico's first foray into Hollywood cinema, and who had a torrid relationship with Orson Welles that spread across a number of films and was a huge subject of discussion and personal upheaval.
For rapport, I thought I would go with Maria Laval Urbina, who was the first woman to be magistrate of the Superior Court of Justice in Mexico and eventually a senator. And another person I ran into and thought that she epitomized spirit of the century for all of the best reasons, Berta Zeron, who was the first woman to be a licensed commercial pilot in Mexico, who then went on, because that wasn't awesome enough, to become one of the global pioneers of skydiving and a sequential air race pilot.
Awesome!
So, you know, thinking of it
probably... Thrill issues much?
Yes! Exactly! She's already a spirit of the century character. She is awesome enough to have this game framed around her. So I thought that, you know, if we're thinking con game or something else, we do some pre-gens around these, and then, you know...
People pick!
And come together to save the island from these fiends coming to sabotage Mexico's,
exclusive economic zone.
Yes!
I can't decide whether you need to spiff that up in the game description, or just go with the game description of legendary Mexican heroes unite to defeat time-traveling CIA operatives who are attempting to sabotage Mexico's exclusive economic zone.
I would play that.
I would also play the crap out of that. Oh, shall I go? All right. Yes, this one comes in with much of the same research that Tonya came up with. That the island was first mentioned in 1539, and by 1844, the British maps reported the island as being underwater. So I came up with this. In the late 1830s, all was not well in the United Mexican States. Disputes, both internal and external, threatened this young nation. Unknown to most, a group of saboteurs, led by an eccentric scientist allegedly thrown out of the court of Isabella II of Spain, operating from a base hidden on the remote island of Bermeja, are working to foment internal strife and bring Mexico to its knees.
Nice.
One night, a motley group of adventurers, ne'er-do-wells, and agents of a startling array of secret organizations stormed Bermeja, stopping this shadowy group in a battle so brutal that the island itself was destroyed. This is their story.
Yes!
Yes, we know who blew it up, and it was done on purpose.
And presumably,
for the forces of good.
Somebody involved with the British government was there because their map makers got a little bit of a head start on the fact that the island wasn't around anymore.
It sounds slightly evil genius, sort of the video game of micromanaging minions inside an island base. So, so sort of a twist of that there. So. Except, of course, you're breaking the place, which...
Now, it's important that when the evil genius is destroyed, the base goes with it. And in this case, the base is the island.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I like to think so.
My idea is much less researched and prepared, but... And, frankly, much more colonial as well. I'm terribly ashamed of that. But the notion is that in May of 1868, after a suspicious drought of earthquakes in Los Angeles, the Honorable Emperor of these United States, Joshua Abraham Norton, gathers together a motley group of butcher's boys, junior police constables, cub reporters, and sets off on a vision quest to Mexico, because he's also protector of Mexico, as well as being the Emperor of the United States, to save the people of the Yucatan Peninsula from the dreaded albino axolotl, which is rampaging around, allegedly threatening the citizens.
And it's a yellowish-pinkish colour?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
And, yes, this is largely a consensual hallucination. It may, if I get really inventive, start to plumb in some of the less happy periods of conflict between the two countries and internal strife. But mostly it would be follow the crazy man and go and fight the giant ugly fish.
Okay, so you have Emperor Norton as a player or as an NPC who's just leading everybody else who is very surprised when the giant ugly fish turns out to be real?
Indeed. he would be the MacGuffin.
Right.
The idea of starting at a Emilia Reyes when they are completely out of their depth on the peninsula and they've lost the Emperor is a thing. And I was thinking Spirit of the Century again came up, you know, just from the time period and so forth. But the second thought I had was werewolf.
Ooh.
I can't even remember what comes after the colon.
Werewolf version.
I don't know.
Werewolf the Apocalypse was the first one.
That was
the
first one.
The new one's Werewolf the Forsaken.
Right. I don't know anything about the more recent ones, but
Werewolf Wild West, which I have a copy of, sitting in the
bookshelf,
right over there. It's got a bullet hole through it.
Yeah, so there are options there. It would be probably slightly less deep than the things that you guys were advising, but...
Mine was pretty shallow.
True. The idea of just the fact that Emperor Norton was a contemporary, and we... Actually, no, it's not Los Angeles, it's San Francisco. My mistake. We can... San Francisco! We can fix that in post, can't we?
Totally.
I can paste that over in post. It'll sound totally realistic, yes.
Okay. but yes, went from the Ultras research, I think that popped up. Hey, can't really go past Emperor Norton.
I did try very hard to cajole, bully, and force the Bermeja thing into being a Deadlands scenario, but I couldn't quite make it work, which was vaguely annoying. Because something where you were battling the dread necromancer of Bermeja Island, but sadly, I couldn't make it work.
Really? Okay.
Why not? Because that could actually be interesting for the discussion. What elements in the history meant you couldn't make it go?
Because, well, if we assume that the British Navy roughly knew what they were talking about, the island wasn't there in 1844, and the Deadlands setting doesn't kick off until after Gettysburg.
Ah!
The setting doesn't kick off?
Yeah, there's... The following will be spoilers for Deadlands.
Ooh!
Part of the backstory of Deadlands is that things start to get really weird, and all of the supernatural stuff starts happening at Gettysburg, and immediately after Gettysburg. Essentially, there is so much blood spilt, and it is such a nasty battle, that things start leaking through.
Right.
Kind of a breaking of the veil thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly a manufactured breaking of the veil, but yeah, there's some of the fiction... the Deadlands sort of setting fiction wrapped around that has the first incidences of zombies being in the hospital corpse piles post Gettysburg, and some of the signature characters of the game started, yeah.
At that battle. Hmm. Well, if you want to go that way, there's nothing to say that you can't just twist the setting a little and say, okay, there were equally bloody battles in earlier wars.
Hmm.
Sometimes more bloody battles, and battles for stupider reasons.
I think you can pretty much guarantee that.
Yeah. Absolutely. If it's something that requires someone with the will to do a certain ritual while a battle is going on, there's been opportunities.
I mean, either that, or let's go with the idea that someone discovers that there's this island in the Gulf of Mexico that happens to have a mineral that's been previously unclassified. What do they do with it? And all hell breaks loose.
Yep. Ghost Rock.
First instance of Ghost Rock.
Yeah.
The events are lost to history, which means that what we know is the discovery of Ghost Rock happened later because nobody got off the island, because the island vanished or something.
Of course, currently running a small taco stand in Cuba, apparently.
It's a very small village.
It could be a closed-loop story. That would be interesting, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just wondering if it's possible Bermeja was actually a paper island. It was only there for copyright purposes.
Like a trap street.
Or a paper town.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it appears on a lot of maps done by different governments. That doesn't mean a damn thing.
It's like, who could be bothered going all the way to the New World? We'll just copy theirs.
Yeah, okay.
The idea that this mistake gets propagated, it's probably been rolled out. But it's kind of an interesting notion.
I'm wondering if that's the reason that Nagria doesn't show up anywhere else, is that people just assumed that was a paper island. But the fact that no one, even local, really checked until quite recently.
Well, I got vaguely curious about that, and the sort of how do you lose an island? And it's off the coast of Mexico, off the Yucatan Peninsula. There's a lot of coast there. It's quite a long way off the coast. I sort of mentally had it as not very far off the coast, and when I looked into it, it's like
no,
that'd be really easy to miss.
It's a long way out, but it's near other islands that are inhabited.
Yeah, but I suppose they didn't miss it because it probably wasn't there. It's like, you know, look out your window and go, I'm sure there was an island there.
Thinking about it now, I do, with the whole Nagira thing, I do like the idea of being able to boot this up as some kind of atomic robo scenario where it turns out there's something under the crust that is eating stuff and gradually moving southwest-ish.
It's like a chain of volcanic islands in reverse.
Yeah!
Something's just on the underside of the crust going...
Yes! And like a Warner Brothers cartoon with the carrots disappearing.
Yes! Yes, exactly that. And then it actually hits the mainland and an inhabited area and things go into overdrive and the action scientists of Tesladyne have to go punch stuff to make it stop.
Depending on the route it's taking, they wait long enough and put the Panama Canal Corporation out of business. It's all swings and roundabouts.
I'm just not sure that Brian Clevenger is that much of someone likely to embrace horrifying colonialism and storytelling. I've been disappointed before.
and it also might be a sort of Delta Green, modern-day Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, you would have to hope that it was going in a relatively straight line. It didn't decide.
And that it was going reasonably slowly, and it was actually taking 40 years to eat an entire island.
Yeah, and it decided, oh, I've hit land, I'll just track down the country lengthway. Well, that's no use at all.
damn it, brain.
Part of the party's job is to make sure that the monster keeps in a straight line going directly inland?
Well, no, I've skipped sideways. The reason that it's only on certain maps, you know, it was copied, but rather than being a paper map, it was because that the first maps it's on just happen to be going through when the stars are right, and the idea that Raleigh's in the Pacific is a complete misunderstanding.
Mm, yep, that works.
Ta-da! This game just writes itself.
I found myself wondering the whole thing of, you know, the people who live on the various islands that are presumably within Kui of it haven't reported it missing. And possibly from there it's not. But if it's an island you can only get to either from the surface, or possibly that you can't get to, but you can see it from other islands.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
so the reason that it was seen before, for map-making purposes, was the same reason that the first maps of New Zealand don't have the Cook Strait.
Mm.
Because it was mapped from a boat, and therefore Vermeca would have been perfectly visible, because you can only see it from the sea.
So it's aligned in some way that, you know, yeah, it's in a dimension. You can only see from, like, that angle and that angle, and otherwise it's just, you know, just a bit of water. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a possibility.
It does write itself.
And apparently...
Care's going to sleep now.
...caused narcolepsy. Vermeca. The island of snoozing.
Does that wrap that up? Do we have responses?
I can't really have any other things to throw into that.
Do we want to do the drawing for next week, then, to cut off and put in the next bit? Or do we do that separately?
We're still figuring out how to do this.
Yeah, we're still figuring it out. Okay, well, shall we close off this episode?
It's an organic
process. Cauterize the stump.
Yes, thank you. That was by far the least tasteful way you could have done that.
No, it wasn't.
He's right, you know.
That wasn't a comment so much as a plea. Please let that be in the least tasteful way you could have done that.
Let's... Yeah.
And we're out.
Yeah.
Nice to see you, folks.
Have a good one.
Next time on the Big Red Couch.
Okay, who put in star dot star?
I don't know.
What the fuck? Asterix dot asterix.
Okay, well, this is going to be an odd one.
I blame Craig for
this. That's not my handwriting.
Yes, it is.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to hoarde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!